Hunt, Cat, Carp, and Ray.
Hector Zamora, stuck inflatable Zeppelin. Installation of Mars, Andrei Cădere, round bars of wood, 1970-1971.
All at Once, 55th Venice Biennale, 2013.
Hello, how did you get here?
It was during the opening days of the 55th Venice Biennale that we met Alfredo Iar, and we met him in several occasions during the past 7 years. So each time is the occasion to talk about his more recent work, but also about the future. And the different perspective about the future is also at the core of Venezia Venezia, the work he produced for the Chilean Pavilion at the Venice Biennale. What you're about to listen is a series of excerpts from the conversation we had at the Venice Biennale, starting from Venezia Venezia and what you might expect getting into the Arsenale.
When you enter the space, you first encounter a light box with a black and white image of Lucio Fontana, who just returned from Argentina and is visiting his studio in Milan that had been destroyed by the bombs in the Second World War. And this is 1946. And it's a very big image. It's 2 meter 50 by 2 meter 50. And it is there to remind my audience of a very special moment in history of Italy and a special model for the world that was starting at that time, which is how an extraordinary group of intellectuals, filmmakers, artists, and writers and poets changed the course of history in less than 20 years. And with their work, they illuminated the cultural scene of Italy and Europe and the world. And they changed the image of Italy, who had lost the war, who had allied with Hitler and fascism and so on. Even during the war, Visconti in 42 came out with Ossessione. And then by the end of the war in 45, with a script by Fellini, Rossellini came out with Roma Città Aperta. It's just an unbelievable accomplishment. And 3 years later, in 48, Vittorio De Sica, for example, comes out with Ladri di Bicicletta. And so on and so on and so on. And as I said, not only in film, but also in literature, La Terra Promessa de Ungaretti came out in 1950. And in 1951, you have Alberto Moravia, who wrote The Conformist, Il Conformista. Il Conformista that became a film by Bertolucci in 1970. And of course, a few years later, Pasolini with Accattone, with Mamma Roma, and Bertolucci with Prima della Revoluzione and Il Conformista. So all these artists, they really illuminated their country and changed history. So that image is there as a reminder that we artists, we intellectuals, can affect change. And after that, after seeing that image, people is invited to cross a bridge. It's a bridge like Venice Bridge. And here it is symbolic because it forces you to go up and down. You have no choice. You cannot escape that bridge. And for me, it's a very simple symbol that I'm inviting the audience to cross a bridge. And much more than a physical bridge, it's really a mental bridge. I'm asking them to think differently, to take a road not taken. And on this bridge, the spectator will find a metallic structure that measures 5 meters by 5 meters. And it looks like a pool, and it's filled with water. And the water looks like the Laguna water. It is green, dark green. And it's not, of course, Laguna water. We made it with clean water with colorants, but we wanted to match exactly the color of the Laguna. And the water is quiet. There is nothing happening. Only a little reflection on the wall. And it's interesting to observe how people who come to the Biennale, and these people come so stressed, they have to see 5,000 works in 2 days, that they come rushing and they see a pool and they just keep walking. As if there was nothing special about a 5-meter pool in the middle of a pavilion. And they don't have the patience to wait. So, for those who have the patience to wait, only 3 minutes, every 3 minutes, emerges from this pool a perfect replica of the Giardini with its 28 national pavilions. It emerges for just a few seconds and disappears again. So what I've done with this work, I've invented an utopic future where the Biennale has disappeared. And what spectators are seeing is really a ghost from history. So this is a poetic invitation to rethink the Biennale model that includes only 28 national pavilions and that represent an obsolete order that does not represent the cultural diversity and the beautiful cultural democracy that exists today in the world of art and culture, and doesn't represent the mobility that exists today in the world. Artists are born in a place, they study in another place, they work in another place, and they create works about another place. So I think it's an obsolete structure, and eventually I think the Giardini will become a large exhibition space, and a curator will be invited to create a show, and he's going to invite artists to occupy the spaces. And the fact that they belonged at one point to this or that country will go into history. So that is what I think. I think that if you look at the world today, or if you look at Europe today, you see a fortress Europe that is closing its borders and it's expulsing immigrants because of the financial crisis. And I think that the art world perhaps will not change the world, but should at least make the effort not to replicate so perfectly this imbalances that exist outside in the reality. And so the kind of relationship that exists between these countries, in Europe, for example, between Germany and Greece, etc., etc., I don't think we should repeat them within the art world. And so that is the point of the work. The point is that we should create a different model that doesn't replicate the existing model of relationships that exist within Europe, for example. Why? Because artists create models of thinking the world. So if we are able to create a different model for the Biennale where we could coexist in a more democratic way, then I think we will be superior to the political system that surrounds us. And I have absolutely nothing against working with the specificity of a place. This work is very specific to Venice, and those Italian intellectuals were working with their society. But those works went much beyond, and that's why they are what they are. They are masterpieces because people can read them from anywhere. And myself, as a young student of film in Chile, I studied them, and they affected me greatly. If they had been so focused and so specific and so close, then they would have not had this kind of effect. If they had this effect, it's because the world was able to understand them and to feel empathy for them, and that's why they illuminated the rest of the world. So I'm all for site specificity, and I'm all for works that come from a place. But what I don't like is the fact that we are circumscribed to certain walls, and some not physical walls but mental walls. And because these walls are filled with history with which I might not agree. And so in a sense, here in the Arsenale, we are much more free than in the Giardini. Here we have a tabula rasa. We are starting from scratch. We have these big spaces. Of course, they have a history, but they don't have a nationalistic history. So that's why in the Arsenale you find all these great works, because artists are starting from zero. When in the Giardini, when you're invited into a pavilion that has such a history behind, then you have to live with that context. And even if you ignore it, the work will be seen within that context.
This is a conversation with Alfredo Jahr, we recorded at the 55th Venice Biennale. So starting from the work, Venezia, Venezia, we just then moved along talking about influences and sound, and ended up talking about John Cage's 4:33, which Alfredo Jahr considers one of the works that most influenced his practice.
What I like about that piece by John Cage is that it's the most poetic way in which he says that context is everything. So that work can be performed in different places, and it becomes the place, because it will depend on what happens in that place. If a baby starts crying, if a truck goes by, if birds are in trees and so on, or a phone starts ringing, context is everything. So, of course, in my work, context is a key element of the work, because I remind you that I'm an architect making art, so for me, I'm reacting to the context. So I'm not bringing here a work that I invented somewhere in New York and brought it here. No, this work is born out of my experience of the Biennale, where I started coming in 1986 and I've attended some 15 Biennales. Not participating, just attending. And so it's really about context. And for me, context is key for a successful work of art, because we are trying to make sense, and in order to make sense we have to understand the context. And regarding the time factor, for me time is also a large component of my program, and it's a source of frustration because as you know, the average time that the spectator spends in a museum or a gallery is like 3 seconds in front of each work of art. That's why people just walk by the pool and don't even know what's happening. Because they're impatient. There are 28,000 works of art in this Biennale, and they want to see everything in two hours. So I'm desperate to stop people. And so all my works ask people, I mean, in a poetic way, please stop. Please give me a minute and let me show you something. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So it's fascinating in this work to see how some people come up, they ignore the Fontana image, they don't even know who the Fontana is, and then they walk and they see the water and they continue as if the Laguna recreated in the Arsenale was the most normal thing in the world. And those people just keep walking because they don't have time. But those that say, oh, what is this? Why is an artist bringing that Laguna water inside the Arsenale? And if they make the effort to see the label that explains that it's Fontana and so on, that's enough time for them to realize what's going to happen in the pool. And they're going to experience magic.
Radio Papesse is a project by Laria Gardens and Carola Haupt. You can find more infos on radiopapesse.org.